Blog Talk Radio.
Who is January Jones? She is not a young, beautiful, talented actress on Mad Men. She is not an older, gorgeous, exotic dancer from the Johnny Carson Show. She is an author, and she wrote Thou Shall Not Whine, the 11th Commandment, that reached number one at Amazon.com. She is a reality TV golf personality with World High Stakes Golf televised on HDNet. She is a humorist and winologist expert. She is your featured host today on January Jones Sharing Success Stories. So sit back, relax, and get ready to laugh and listen to Ms. Jones with her eclectic roster of guests on Blog Talk Radio as you learn life's lessons. These stories plus sharing equals success. Welcome, and remember, beware, because you are entering the no-whining world of January Jones.
Ever wonder how chocolate can cure whining? Have you ever wondered if you're a chocoholic? Are you asking, what's so good about dark chocolate? Do you wish that you could find a new place to take your family for a new, interesting, fun-filled vacation? Would you like to know what wine, scotch, and chocolate have in common? If you can answer yes or maybe to any of these questions, I'm January Jones, the wine tester, your host, inviting you to enjoy my show today with our topic, Thou Shalt Not Whine About Anything, featuring my own chocolate cure for my soon-to-be-published book, Thou Shalt Not Whine, the 11th Commandment. As many of you know, I'm the newest wannabe chocolate expert and a confessed chocoholic snob. And I want you to enjoy an educational experience today with some real live chocolate experts. My guests today are Mindy Bianca of Hershey Entertainment and Resorts Company and John Schaffenberger of Schaffenberger Chocolate Maker. Hello and welcome to both Mindy and John.
Hi, January.
Hi, January. Great to be here.
Oh, I'm so happy to have you both on my show. Mindy, your official title is quite impressive. It's Hershey's Director of Public Relations. And when I Googled you, I saw a lot of articles about you, and I even found your picture. And,
oh, good. Was I holding a chocolate bar in the picture?
No, you weren't, but you are a positively gorgeous girl. And,
oh, thank you.
And I can't wait to meet you. And John, you're the founder of Schaffenberger Chocolate Maker, and I Googled you also, and you are very attractive too, but Mindy's really attractive.
Sorry, John.
John founded Schaffenberger Chocolate Maker in 1996 with his friend and business partner, Robert Steinberg. Already an accomplished winemaker, Schaffenberger's spirit and his palate and passion for food translated perfectly into the production of the finest chocolate. Prior to becoming a renowned chocolate maker, John founded and operated Schaffenberger Cellars, where he gained invaluable insight into the importance of traditional production methods and ingredients with the most amazing winery in the world, and now you've switched to chocolate. What a major transition. How did that come about, John?
Well, you know, it's not as major as it sounds. It's all about flavor. You know, you're trying to make something, you're trying to make a food.
Uh-huh.
And a food, sparkling wines or champagne-like sparkling wines is what I used to make. And, you know, kind of difficult but kind of interesting. You have to work with nature. You have to work with, basic materials,
mm-hmm.
Grapes.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, chocolate's pretty much the same thing. You're just taking cocoa beans, which, you know, grow in the humid tropics, have great flavors, interesting different flavors. They're not all the same. And then using really traditional production methodologies, we put together a chocolate that tasted as good as we could make it. And so.
What a wonderful marriage of two careers. It sounds like you are on the path to enjoying the best of both worlds.
Yeah, flavor, and flavor. I just love I love things that taste good, and I love things that are really wholesome. And that's the good thing about you know, being in the primary food business, is you get to make things that taste great.
Yes.
And they're good for you.
And Mindy, now let me ask you a question. You
sure.
are working in a place called the sweetest place on earth, and I'm told, I haven't been there, but I'm told that you are in the ultimate chocolate town. Could you tell us a little bit about Hershey's?
Sure. Well, my office building is right here in Hershey, and as I look out my window, I can see one of our kiss-shaped street lamps.
Oh.
I work on the corner of Chocolate and Cocoa Avenues. It's a little snowy today, and so when it snows or rains, you can really smell the chocolate in the air. You can smell it pretty much any day, but when it's a little bit of precipitation outside, you can definitely smell the chocolate in the air. So it truly, truly is sweet in all those ways, but there's something that makes it even sweeter, which is the mindset is the right thing to say. The mindset of the people here.
Uh-huh.
Mr. Hershey died in 1945.
Okay.
But you would never know that by talking to people around town. People who live here and people who work here continue to talk about what would Mr. Hershey want us to do. And they try to live their lives and work their jobs the way that Mr. Hershey would have expected them to do that. So there's a certain...
Well, that's amazing. Now,
it is.
Are there Hershey children that run the business?
There are not. In fact, Mr. Hershey and his wife Catherine, whom he called Kitty, could not have any children of their own. So there are no heirs. And in effect, his family became the Milton Hershey School.
Oh.
He and his wife bequeathed their entire fortune in perpetuity to the Milton Hershey School. So there are currently 1,700 children living and learning here in Hershey. They typically come from disadvantaged or underprivileged backgrounds. And, you know, Mr. Hershey wanted to give them every chance that he could give them to make it in the world. So it's just it's a beautiful story. It's sweet in more than one way.
It does. It sounds interesting. Also, John, what I found very interesting when I was doing my research was that you began your chocolate business, your partnership with Dr. Robert Steinberg. And I found out that you used electric mixer, a hairdryer, and that you did a lot of this in his kitchen.
Well, you have to start somewhere. in a way, you know, and by the way, I just want to reiterate what we were just talking about Hershey. It's a pretty extraordinary place and an extraordinary group of people. And
yes.
It's been wonderful to work with them because they're, again, this whole thing that Milton Hershey did both charitably and innovatively, it really seeps through the organization.
How long have you been connected to Hershey and had a business relationship? I know we've all eaten Hershey's all our lives, but how long have you?
Well, for about 2.5 years now.
Uh-huh. Okay, 2.5 years.
So, but when Robert and I started, we trying to, you know, the idea, Robert had come up with this idea of let's make the perfect chocolate. Let's make chocolate, well, not the perfect chocolate, a chocolate that was just darn good. Let's
right.
If we could make a chocolate that would compete with the world's chocolate. And that means the best from Europe or the best from, you know, anywhere it's made. And so we set about doing that. And so we looked at how chocolate was made and you know, kind of started to come up with ways that we could emulate those production technologies, but just on a small scale. So we figured out different grinding methods, different roasting methods, different conching methods, and they were all things that we could do basically in home at our own at Robert's house, and it allowed us to get started early so we could test the beans that were available in the world, and I think that was the wonderful thing is we came up with a very wine-like way to test flavors from cacao, but we did it with you know, fairly funky production technologies and things that, you know, you could find in a normal home.
Oh, that sounds interesting, because when I thought about having my husband cook anything in my kitchen, it was frightening, and then the thought of you there with a hairdryer making chocolate.
We're trying to keep the chocolate liquid while it was being stirred and conched.
Yeah.
And so that was the way it did. You know, and you know, we're I'm a chocolate, I'm a food technologist, so in a sense I've been working all my life in making food.
Now, did you study that at Berkeley, or how did you?
Yeah, I have a degree in agricultural history and technology.
Okay, all right.
I'm very interested in where food comes from and how it developed and how, you know, what we think about it and how we make it and, you know, where it's going.
Now, Mindy, what is your educational background? How does one become the PR representative for such a large company such as Hershey's?
Well, I'm the PR representative for Hershey Entertainment Resorts, which is the tourism side of the Hershey Enterprises. In 1927, Mr. Hershey separated his business into those that produced chocolate and those that did not. So I'm on the those that did not side of things.
Okay.
So my background is actually in destination public relations, and I kind of fell into this position because I was on your side at one point. I was a journalist.
Okay.
And I traveled the world, and then finally I decided that I would like to promote portions of the world.
Oh, and what a wonderful place.
Yeah, it's, well, you know, I'm very selective about the places I'm going to promote, and I search long and hard, and this is one that it's a place I'm truly, truly proud to be able
Now, John, have you been back to Hershey's, or?
Yes, I have. I've been back two or three times, and I'm looking forward to going again in a few weeks.
Well, you know, it's interesting. Once I booked this interview, and I started telling people how excited I was to have this interview, so many people have been to Hershey's and have told me what an incredible town it is and what an amazing environment and how happy everyone seems to be. It sounds like a little little piece of paradise right
there. Well, we're all eating chocolate. Of course we're happy.
Well, you know, and that fits perfectly in I'm promoting the chocolate cure for whining. And I think that I found my little niche in life because I've been a long-term chocolate addict. And I'm finally coming out of the closet now that I found out how nutritional and healthy it is.
Well, you'll find a lot of people just like you here.
I can't wait to get there. We were talking about the different towns and Hershey's and how the two of you became connected. And now, John, I'd like to have you tell us a little bit, what would it be like if, after I visit Hershey's, I put your place on my calendar and came up to visit you? What would I see at your factory?
Berkeley's is a wonderful place for food. You know, the last century's sort of innovations and sort of going back to traditions about, food came from Berkeley, which is a nice place to be.
Oh.
So we've got a wonderful factory tour set up, and it's in this day of video tours and virtual tours and
mm-hmm.
all that stuff, we have what's kind of called a real tour.
Oh.
Where you come and we sit you down in a little classroom, teach you about where chocolate comes from, show you cocoa pods, allow you to taste cocoa beans, feel, see, hear, taste, smell, the really things that go into chocolate.
Oh, that sounds fascinating. Now, to get...
So after you do that, though, then we go and show you the factory.
Oh.
We show you how we make it.
Uh-huh.
So it's a really good combination of learning and seeing and doing a little bit of stuff. So it's the true experience, you know, it's one of the true experiences in really being able to see a chocolate factory.
Now, in order to do the tour, do you have to make a reservation, or would one book a space?
On our website, which is www.scharfenberger.com, we have a really good... recipes and lots of things about our chocolate,
mm-hmm.
But we also have a really handy way to sign up for tours.
Okay, so then you could do that. So once you got there, you would be sure that you'd be able to get in.
Yeah, and we give like four or five a day, 7 days a week. So and there, you know, probably about 50,000 or 60,000 people a year go through.
Oh my gosh!
Factory. And it's a tiny factory, so it's
it's
kind of something we spend a lot of time really trying to do it well.
I'm definitely going to put that on my calendar because if I'm walking around trying to pretend to be a chocolate expert or a chocolate snob, I better get in there and taste it and walk through it and smell it and have the entire experience.
I have to say, it's a great tour. I went a year ago, and
oh, you
it's
did.
Much fun. And
uh-huh.
It is. It is small, and it's very intimate, and you get to see the workers actually doing what they do, and the smell is incredible, and uh-huh. it's phenomenal. You've got to get there.
Okay. Well, I definitely will do that. Now, when I come to Hershey, Pennsylvania, my husband is a fanatical golfer, as I am too. What kind of a golf opportunity would we have at if we came there?
Well, see, already you've got that whole chocolate thing going because you have something in common with Milton Hershey. He was a big fan of golf, too.
Oh, really?
And, in fact, at one point, he made his private home, which is called High Point, the country club. He moved upstairs to just two rooms in his house and left the rest of his mansion for the members of the country club to use.
So, oh, wow.
He's a big fan of golf. And golf has a good long history here. It's been about 75, 76 years that we've had golf here in Hershey, and we actually have had very notable golf pros. Ben Hogan was one of our golf pros here, and Henry Picard was a golf pro here. Both of them are in the World Golf Hall of Fame.
Absolutely.
And currently, we operate four golf courses. It's 63 holes of golf. We have the West Course, which everyone talks about, the signature hole. It's hole five, right on the front lawn of Mr. Hershey's home.
Oh, wonderful.
We have that was built in the 1930s. We have the East Course, which is a little more modern. We have Spring Creek Golf Course, which was created in the 1930s, and it was the first ever juvenile golf course in the United States. And at one point, the rule was you had to be 18 or under to play there, or you had to be the invited guest of a child to play at the golf course.
Oh, how special is that?
It's a great place for people who are just learning. And the kids at the Milton Hershey School take golf lessons over there, so that's just really fun. And then our newest addition is we just added a new golf course. We acquired a course in neighboring Hummelstown, which is just up the road, and it is now called the Links at Hershey, and it overlooks the town of Hershey.
Right. When we
three championship courses and then the junior course.
All right. When we come back, I'm going to share with my listeners something that you've called Chocolate February. That's going to be taking place with both John and Mindy back in Hershey. We'll be right back. This is January Jones, the wine taster, and also the future wannabe chocolate expert. Welcome back to Big Media USA. This is January Jones, the wine tester, with my wonderful guest, Mindy Bianca and John Schaffenberger, and they are going to be doing something called Chocolate February, and this is going to be taking place back in Hershey, Pennsylvania. And could you tell me what events you will be hosting and what actually goes on for a whole month celebrating chocolate?
Sure, I'd be happy to give you a little background. Chocolate Covered February started, this is the fourth year we're doing it. It's hosted by Hershey Entertainment and Resorts Company, which is the tourism side of the Hershey family. And we offer more than 300 events that celebrate chocolate. And obviously, this is a destination that is very chocolatey 12 months of the year, but for one of those months, we get a little extra chocolatey, and it's so much fun.
How did you choose February? How did that become...
Because people think of February with Valentine's Day and sweet things, and certainly if you watch TV or listen to the radio in the month of February, everybody's talking about chocolate. So it just seemed to be the right time to really get people excited about it and coming to Hershey. And this is a year-round destination, but maybe some people wouldn't think to come here in the winter months. And
there's
plenty to see and do, and so this just gives them more reasons to want to come. So we do chocolate and wine pairings. We do chef's tasting tables. We do demonstrations. We do crafts. And we actually have chocolate Play-Doh here so kids can make things with chocolate Play-Doh. We just have a blast. And we just take chocolate and do everything we can think of doing with it. So it's just a lot of fun. For a whole list of these more than 300 events, you can just visit chocolatecoveredfebruary.com.
Okay.
And this year, we're really excited because John is coming to join us for one of the weekends in February, and it's just a real thrill for us. He's brought to us by allchocolate.com, which if you're going to be a chocolate expert, January, you've got to go to allchocolate.com.
Well,
it is such a great reference.
You know, I have to confess that after I heard about what John was up to, I did go there, and I was just totally blown away. It was the most amazing chocolate website that I've ever been to.
Every time I'm on the site, I just feel like I want to lick my computer screen. It probably isn't appropriate. But it is. It's a great, great, great reference and resource. So John's coming to us through that, and I would love for him to tell you a little bit about what he's going to do because it's going to be really fun.
Okay, John, you take it away. Let's hear
I really like the context that chocolate, chocolate comes to us from. You know, it's a long tradition of both kind of early, it's an American product, you know, basically 7,000 or 8,000 years old. So it's really fun to sort of trace chocolate's history through, you know, the last, say, 9,000 years of history, see how it's affected our history, how it's affected people and cultures, and how it's changed itself. So We not only talk about some of this history, but then we get a chance to taste the different sort of flavors of chocolate that come to us from some of this history and cultural context. So it's kind of a history of the world with a chocolate lens on it.
Right, because I was doing my research and I was some wonderful names popped up, such as Casanova, Montezuma, Cortez, and the actual history of how chocolate was spread and discovered is fascinating. John, now, does your company just specialize in dark chocolate, or do you do different chocolate?
We make a little bit of milk chocolate.
Uh-huh.
What we're known for is dark chocolate.
And what is your take on this? I think it's a phenomenon, because now I've been going into Gelson's and Whole Foods, and it's unbelievable. It's like there's a chocolate explosion taking place.
It's been kind of nice to be on the ground floor of this in the United States. And what I always said is it takes Americans to teach Americans about products. And we were kind of the first of the pure dark chocolate guys to kind of bring back the traditional flavors. And kind of like Robert Mondavi is for the wine business, he sort of relaunched the wine business to the Americans. And it sort of, opened our eyes up not only to what's already been made here for many years, but also the world of chocolate. So we were, I think, kind of at the sort of the beginning of that stuff, of that sort of trend. And as such, we can articulate what's good about chocolate, what's great about chocolate, and what's interesting about chocolate.
Well, I think the average person hasn't been aware of all the health benefits of chocolate. You know, it's before it's kind of been the forbidden thing, and it's the thing
forbidden tradition that came to us from the pilgrims. You know, thought a lot of other things should be forbidden too, including procreation. But luckily it happened anyway, and we're here to tell a story about it. So, chocolate's one of those things that's really pretty good for you, and a lot of other cultures, think of it that way.
Now, Mindy, when people come to your Chocolate February event in Hershey, will there be like special little shops, or could you describe? Do you have a large area? Where would people go for their chocolate tasting?
There are three main areas the whole town celebrates Chocolate Covered February, but there are three main areas where a lot of the activities take place. One is the historic Hotel Hershey, which Mr. Hershey built in the 1930s. Another is the Hershey Lodge, and the last one is Hershey's Chocolate World. So there are three places where people can go and have some of these chocolate experiences. And you don't necessarily have to be a guest at the hotel or the lodge to go to all the events. For some, you do. But for the most part, they're public events open for people who want to learn more about chocolate and have the tastings and samples. And certainly, everything at Hershey's Chocolate World is open to the general public. So those are the three main locations. But there are other places around town, like the Hershey Museum and Hershey Gardens, where they're doing some special events, too. So really a great thing is just to look at that website, the chocolatecoveredfebruary.com website, and kind of find out, hey, what's going on? I'm going to be in town on this day. What could be happening that day? And I will let you know that the majority of things are happening on weekends, because that's when all of our visitors are coming, although we do have some other things throughout the week, but certainly the heavy concentration is on weekends.
Yeah. Hey, Mindy, I saw that Joseph Schmidt's coming as well.
Yes,
he's a wonderful guy, an old friend of mine, and I think one of the most interesting candy makers.
We are so excited.
Oh, my
God. That's another all-chocolate sponsorship. So we have John coming in one weekend, and the following weekend we have Joseph Schmidt, who
makes
truffles. And he's going to just show people all about crafting with chocolate and how to carve it and how to make a chocolate tulip. And really incredible, incredible things. So.
When I was in the wine business, Joseph used to make me a chocolate a champagne cork. Which was so wonderful. So, it's nice to, find myself in the same business with somebody who's such a good craftsman and a wonderful guy.
Oh, my gosh. I'll have to put him on my list. I would love to interview him and get his take. He's probably been in the chocolate industry forever.
Well, and he's definitely known. I mean, people just know him as being quite an artist among chocolatiers, and it's just amazing. There's a lot about him on allchocolate.com as well, if people want to know a little bit more about what he does and see some of his work.
Oh, that's a fabulous, fabulous website. When people come to Hershey, now, will their tour include the industrial school, or is that separate from the town?
Actually, what you can do when you, the thing I always recommend that a guest to Hershey do is go over to Hershey's Chocolate World, which is, it's the world's most visited corporate attraction. We get 3 million visitors a year coming to see how chocolate is made on a simulated tour ride. So that's really a lot of fun. And then also that can kind of be your headquarters where you start your visit to Hershey. They have a historic trolley tour that leaves from Chocolate World several times throughout the day. And if you take that chocolate tour on the trolley, you get to know all about the town. They tell you all about the history of who was Mr. Hershey, why did he develop the town here, what's going on, what are all these things that we're driving by. But one of the things that you go to is the school, and you get a whole good lesson about what that school is all about.
Now, is this a school that is co-ed?
It is. It's a co-ed school. It's a private school. Students have to apply to get in, but the application process is a little bit different for them than for other students at other schools. I mean, obviously, they're looking for students who have a certain need. And but, yeah, there's still an application process, and they're always recruiting students, and the kids actually live here in Hershey. They live in homes. They have house parents that they work with and live with, and they have other kids who are living with them. So it's a really amazing environment.
Well, this is just the most fascinating story that I can share with my listeners, because so many of us, we've all known the Hershey's brand all of our life. And now to find out that there's such a philanthropy and such so much more to this company than we see in the supermarket.
And I think that's so, Mr. Hershey was a pretty humble individual who probably, I mean, I think he knew how to toot his own horn at some things, but not maybe everything. And so a lot of people don't know this whole backstory. I mean, they don't know what he did for the town, and they don't know what he did for these kids. Ultimately, there's been 8,000 children educated at this school.
Oh, my gosh.
So some of the things that he left behind, and his foresight, the thought that he was, let me take care of this forever. I mean, that's just incredible. Who thought that way he actually founded the school in 1909, so he was really, really ahead of his time.
Well, they certainly haven't tooted their own horn, have they? Because most of us don't know anything about this. And
I think that a lot of the recruiting takes place in the state of Pennsylvania. There was a certain outline of where the students should come from, and a certain percentage needed to come from Pennsylvania, and a certain percentage needed to come from a certain area within Pennsylvania. So it may be that as you move further across the country, you know about it. But I definitely think they are trying to get the word out, because it's such a great program, and their students, their graduates, have gone all over the place. I mean, there are probably students, at some point, there have been students from all 50 states and some territories, and it's just incredible the quality of things they're doing there.
This is quite an amazing backstory, and I'm just really happy that we can share this with everyone. John, when I was doing my research, I was curious to know the chocolate plantations. They're all around the world, and
they're only in the humid tropics. So in the belt around the middle of right around the equator, all around the world.
Do you personally go to the farms and select the beans, or how does that process? How did the beans get to you?
What we've done is we've gone out and let it be known to lots of small cacao growers, cooperatives, small trading companies, that we really want flavorful, wonderful cacao. And so basically people have been sending us samples, and basically due to kind of the wonderful, FedEx and UPS and internet, we've been able to really find some wonderful cacao from, far away from Ghana, from Madagascar, from Sulawesi, from Papua New Guinea, from Venice, from Dominican Republic, and Guatemala. So really what we try and do eventually is stop by and see everybody and all the people we work with. But basically we get samples sent to us from these different parts of the world. We try them, see how they work in our blends, and then purchase them.
I see. Mindy, going back to the Hershey's recreation and resorts, could you tell us a little bit about the part of your operation called Zoo America?
Sure. Mr. Hershey actually had his own private zoo and eventually opened it up to the public, and it dates to the early 1900s. And it used to be called Hershey Zoo, and now it's called Zoo America, North American Wildlife Park. And it's a fairly small zoo. It's only about 11 acres. Again, it started as Mr. Hershey's personal animal collection, but then has evolved into this accredited zoo. And now, of course, we concentrate on North American wildlife, and it's divided into five different sections.
Oh.
But the zoo started, some of the earliest animals in Mr. Hershey's collection were prairie dogs and black bears. So to this day, we have prairie dogs and black bears.
Okay.
And those continue to be some of the very popular portions of the zoo. And the zoo is actually, it's open year-round, and you can go in, there's an individual entrance that you can go into the zoo, but also the zoo is included with admission to Mr. Hershey's theme park, which is called Hershey Park. So it's actually, the zoo is one more themed area in Hershey Park as well.
Oh, it sounds just fascinating, and it sounds like such a easy vacation for a family to do. When we come back, I want to talk with you some more and enjoy our visit with you, Chocomania. Remember, I'm trying to encourage my listeners to start thinking of chocolate as a health food rather than something to feel guilty about. It's a guiltless food, and it's really good for you. We'll be right back with John and Mindy. This is January Jones, Thou Shalt Not Wine, the 11th Commandment. This is January Jones welcoming you back to Thou Shalt Not Wine, the 11th Commandment on BigMediaUSA.com. My guests are John Scheffenberger and Mindy Bianca, and we are talking about all things chocolate. John, let me ask you a question. How many chocolate pods does it take to actually make one chocolate bar? Do you have any idea?
Well, it's kind of hard to look at it that way because the pods, are different different sizes. But I would say, out of any good sized pod, you could probably get about a 1.5 ounce bar.
Okay. And could I ask you how much chocolate how much do you eat every day, or do you eat it every day?
I probably eat about 1.5 ounces of dark chocolate every day.
Okay, and
that's usually something that's above 70% cacao. I like this, the chocolates that are not as sweet as some, and they're also the ones that have the highest proportion of things that are allegedly good for you in them as well.
Okay, and people complain. I hear a lot of people say, "Well, dark chocolate is so bitter." Do you have an answer for that?
Well, there's lots of different varieties of cacao, and lots of people say that, red wine is bitter.
Mm-hmm.
But when it's made properly, it tastes great. And so that's, in a sense, what we've tried to do is try and make dark chocolate with, as many great flavors as possible.
Mm-hmm.
So we actually make a chocolate that's 82% cacao, which has got very little sugar in it at all, and it's delicious, not bitter at all.
Oh, my gosh, and we can get that at any place where your chocolate is sold, I hope.
Yeah, it's got fairly wide distribution.
Okay, and then we're hearing that chocolate is good if you have high cholesterol. What's your thought about that?
Well, I'm not a doctor, and even my business partner, Robert, who I started the company with, is a doctor, and he says, thinking about chocolate as a drug. Let's think about chocolate as a good food.
A healthy food.
And so that's kind of what we know about it. It's pretty nutritionally, it's high nutritional value, especially things without so much sugar in them, something like 60, 70, 80%.
Uh-huh.
And so you got to start thinking about chocolate kind of like something like broccoli.
Okay.
You want to have as much as you can, but you don't want to eat that much of it.
Now, I love that because I'm usually telling people that chocolate is the new Prozac, so maybe I'll start saying chocolate is the new broccoli. I think that would go over really big. I think everyone would like that. Mindy, before we have to end this fascinating interview, could you just share a little bit about the Hershey Spa? Because I recently had a chocolate massage, and it was the most wonderful thing I've experienced.
We call it the Chocolate Spa, but the official name is the Spa at the Hotel Hershey. It just turned 7 years old, so unlike a lot of things in town, Mr. Hershey wasn't alive when it was built, but we feel that he would have blessed this. I think he would have thought it was a good thing. It has become one of the things that we are most recognized for, not just around the country, but around the world. And we do have unique signature chocolate treatments. We actually have one that holds a patent with the U.S. Patent Office called the Cocoa Bath. And that's just an incredible, incredible, imagine you become the marshmallow in a giant cup of hot cocoa. That's what the bath is like.
Oh, that sounds fabulous.
But we have cocoa massages. We have chocolate fondue wraps. We just introduced a new cocoa facial experience, which is completely amazing. We actually have our own set of Hershey nail colors, different shades of brown that are our takes on different chocolates. So we really have fun with it. I mean, it's just a way that you can be really clever and creative. And think about it. I mean, everybody goes to a spa to relax.
Yes.
And what's more enjoyable, and you eat chocolate to relax. So what's more enjoyable than matching those two things?
Oh, you know what? I may give up golf. And I may just start eating broccoli, chocolate broccoli, and going to the spa.
It's a very, that would be a very healthy move for you, I think.
Healthy lifestyle.
Exactly.
Well, I would like to thank Mindy and John so very, very much. This has been a wonderful interview, and I've really enjoyed visiting with both of you and finding out about your careers in the chocolate business. This is your slightly eccentric host, hoping you have enjoyed our show, The Chocolate Cure for Whining. Now all you have to do is remember, stop whining, start smiling, and if that doesn't work, you better start eating chocolate, lots and lots of chocolate. Thank you, Mindy and John, and I hope that I'll be able to have you back on our show again.
Thank you.
Great. Look forward to it.
Okay.
Thanks so much.
We want to thank you for listening to January Jones Sharing Success Story. Always remember Ms. Jones' personal mantra, if you can think it, you can do it. That's what all of our guests have done with their lives, and so can you. You are the ultimate success coach in your own life. All you need to do will be to start sharing your own story with your family and friends. We hope that our guest stories will encourage you to explore an equation in your future that will combine your creativity plus connecting with others will enable you to be successful too. Always remember, your passion plus your purpose will equal prosperity as you explore the wonderful world of January Jones.